Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome, everyone, to the Judy Joy Jones Show. The beautiful music you are enjoying is written by Stefan Maelaars, Belgian classical composer, who actually composed that theme, Judy Joy Jones Show theme, just for our show. And that's just a little piece of it, and there's much more. It's absolutely gorgeous. Thank you, Stefan. Today we have what I would consider and introduce as a great soul. Our guest today, to me, is one of those people that has actually overcome many things, and in spite of all of the things and all the good things, she is amazing. That's all I can say. I cannot wait to bring her up. I want to tell everyone that Helen Rosberg, our guest today, who we're very, very fortunate to have, again, to me, she's a great soul, and that's just the way it is. I may be biased, but reading about her, studying about her life, I just put her in that category. Helen is the heiress to the Wrigley fortune and CEO and the founder of Medallion Press, which is just a wonderful publishing company. The funny thing is she can be seen in different disguises, one of them being diamonds, tattoos, and blue jeans. So Helen has many facets to herself. When she's not busy running Medallion Press, which I imagine takes much of her time, Helen is writing romance novels. And you can see a three of those, which is all we can bring up, on the page that has the description of today's show. And if you're so inclined, you can just click on one and purchase it right then. She calls herself, Helen calls herself the helpful hooker. Now, let me explain that, the helpful hooker. She calls herself that because when she is guiding her husband to hook up the trailer to go to her horse shows and dog shows. Helen has many beloved horses, and I actually wanted to bring up some of their pictures, but I couldn't get them to come up. So I want everyone to go to her website at www.helenrosberg.com, and there is a link there that you can click on and see her horses. They're absolutely gorgeous. Some more of Helen's passions include not only her horses and dogs and those shows, the horses shows, horse shows and dog shows, but Helen rescues animals of all kinds, and that opened my heart. Being born an heiress, though, did not protect her from the adversities of life. including two bouts with breast cancer, a double mastectomy, heart troubles, a stroke, and many other things, which I'm going to let Helen bring up or not bring up, depending on how she feels at this moment. But I did want to say that when I read about her tattoos, I just have to, I actually started crying. She has a tattoo on her forearm featuring a hand clenching a rope with the word endure, with the word endure. And then I'm going to let Helen tell us the rest because I don't want to give any more away, but let me bring her up right now. Hello, Helen.
Hello, and thank you for a lovely introduction.
Thank you so much for being on the Judy Joy Jones Show. We are so grateful.
It's my pleasure.
I didn't want to say too much because I want you to have absolute freedom to bring up what you want and how you want it in what sequence, Helen. Maybe you'd like to start out just telling us about yourself in your own words and what you're doing. I mean, what is it that made Helen who she is?
Trials and tribulations. I was born into a privileged existence, but as you said, it didn't protect me from anything. And I, at one point in my life, in order to save my own soul and to be, because I, you know, I may have been born an heiress, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
but that is not who I am. And I had to, at one point, lovingly turn my back on my family and make it on my own. And for a long time, you know, I worked some very unusual jobs. And I struggled with depression long before, and it was known what postpartum depression is. I had extreme postpartum depression. My biography is coming out, my autobiography, which I should explain. You started to say about my tattoos, my whole upper left arm. It starts on my shoulder, just top of my arm, top of my shoulder. It's a storm, black clouds, swirling black clouds and big flashes of lightning. And raindrops are falling out of the storm cloud. And as they drip down my arm, they turn into musical notes. And within, inside of the rain shower is my life's motto. Don't just survive it. Sing.
And that's your working on your autobiography? Wow. And it is entitled that, right? Is that correct?
It is. Don't just survive, it sing. In other words, it's not just about surviving the storm, but singing in the rain.
And that you do. I don't know how you do what you do, but you do it. You know, whenever you said you were born into a life of privilege and yet you still had all the adversity, I would say you've had more than your share. I mean, just reading a tiny bit about you, and of course this was, you know, what I found on the internet and what my assistant found, but I'm sure that you can go more into depth about what it is in your, perhaps your parents, your grandparents, something gave you that will of iron, Helen.
Well, it's funny. Well, I have a co-author in my autobiography. His name is Mark Tabb.
Mm-hmm.
And he did some research and found out things about my family that even I didn't know about, for instance, my great-grandfather. And I found out, I have always felt like the black sheep. I felt like I never belonged. I am just so not that type, you know, society
mm-hmm.
type. And I am a maverick. I find myself quite liking Sarah Palin's going rogue. So how I feel. And I thought, well, maybe I'm a changeling. Maybe my mother brought home the wrong child from the hospital.
Oh, gee.
And then when I read some things about my great-grandfather, William Wrigley Jr., that I had never known, I thought, oh, that's who I take after. I am a member of this family.
Oh.
And I think I take after him. He was tough. He was tough, a very hardy, durable soul. And I think I just take after him.
Now, when you were a child, because for many of the listeners out there that aren't born into that privileged childhood, I suppose you didn't, were you aware that you were in, you know, the family, the Wrigley family, and you had all these privileges, or was it just everyday life for you? I mean.
No, I was aware, but not for the reason that you think.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was made aware by the outside world. I was not the same as other kids. When I spent the weekends with my beloved grandmother as a child, the chauffeur brought me to school on Monday mornings in a limousine. Well, I became immediately the object of scorn and derision. And that's how I became aware.
Huh. Just being an outsider, you were almost like you had nothing, like the poor. I mean, you were just not brought into the inner circles, right, of
other people. Just
yeah.
Normal families. I call them normal families. Yes, I know very well what it's like to be a member of a minority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I couldn't agree more, because as I was reading about you, I thought, wow, you know, that sounds like such a great thing we all want to be. But then you think about it, and I can remember in school a couple of kids being brought to school, you know, let off by limousines, and we all, you know, we could just look at them, but they were not part of the inner crowd, let's say. They were too different a little bit, and that would be almost as hard as having nothing, you know.
That's right.
It's just like on the opposite end of the pole. Helen, what is it? Now, this could be wrong, but I was told that you started writing at a very, very young age in elementary school. Am I right? Or before that?
Yes. Yes. As soon as I learned how to write, which was the first grade, I wrote my first book. There's never been the slightest doubt in my mind that I would be a writer. It's an obsession. I was just born with it.
Huh. Did you have writers in your family on down the line, or?
No, although my mother and my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, Helen Wrigley,
mm-hmm.
had a facility for writing. My grandmother wrote beautiful letters, and my mother occasionally wrote little short stories to amuse the family. And she was talented as well. Nobody was a writer per se, but they were, the women in my family were talented at it.
And you had the gift. You got the writer's genes and bug, and you've been writing since you were just a tiny child. What inspired the romance novels, the books that you're writing now, Helen?
The writers that I grew up reading, which, like, the two probably biggest, the books I devoured, of course, I read, I have been an avid reader from a very, very early age, and I read what my mother had lying around, so it was my mother's taste, and she read Taylor Caldwell and Kathleen Woodowis.
Oh, okay. So you were very influenced by them.
Very.
Mm-hmm. You have, and I love, you know, the covers of your books, all of your books at Medallion Press, they're absolutely beautiful. They're exquisite. I'm very inspired by your covers, and I understand you're working on a vampire romance. Is that correct?
I am. I'm co-authoring it with my daughter. I'm very, very excited about it. We have a line, the Masterpiece imprint, and it's illustrated romances. Now, these are not, you know, 350-page books. These are slimmer volumes, you know, around 20, 25,000 words. So slim volumes because they're heavily illustrated. And I wrote a couple of poetry books earlier in my career, and one of the most popular poems I wrote was called Angelique, and it was about a vampire. And I am basing this book on the poem. And there were 11 verses. There will be 11 chapters. And I start each chapter with a verse of the poem and then write the chapter around that verse. And then I send it, the chapter, to my daughter, who's the horror acquisitions editor of my company and the senior vice president of my media group. And she, you know, gives advice and suggestions and approves or disapproves or what have you. So that's a mother-daughter project. And an illustrated vampire romance. Oh, yummy.
Mm-hmm. That sounds really good. Yeah, I can't wait. Do you, I'm perplexed and a little bit of what got you into starting your own publishing business? What was that, Helen? Were you pointed in that direction by family members or friends or?
Oh, heavens, no. Not a maverick like me. Oh, no. What happened is that I became a published author with a New York house in 1998. Mm-hmm. They published my first book, and then a year later they published my second book.
Oh, okay.
And I was very disappointed in the process. And I, you know, would talk with other authors, my peers, and we pretty much had the same gripes. And then I said, well, instead of whining and moaning, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, and I'm going to start a publishing company and run it like I think it ought to be run.
Mm-hmm.
Which I did, and the motto is, publishing is a partnership. And that means with everybody, with your distributor, with, you know, every department within the company, but primarily with the author. You know, the greatest day in an author's life is when they get that phone call. We're making you an offer.
Mm.
And, you know, and you have to do the happy dance and act like an idiot. And then you sign the contract, and that's the second bottle of champagne. And then you go, you descend into the abyss until you get back the edits from your editor. And then you descend into another abyss until the book comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we hold hands with our authors every step of the way. And it's not only nice for the authors, but it is invaluable to our part of the publishing process.
Now, your publishing company, our press, is called Medallion Press. And what type of books are you looking to publish for the authors out there or wannabe writers that would be interested to know that, Helen? What type of books?
Well, we're a genre fiction and nonfiction publishing company. Genre fiction, it's all, you know, thrillers, horror, romance,
mm-hmm.
all the usual stuff. No inspirational, no anthologies, and no erotica. And I like to find, I judge a lot of contests because I love to find those wonderful new voices. So we take unagented submissions as long as they follow our guidelines. And I have found some wonderful, fresh, talented voices that way. And nonfiction, we take only agented submissions. And they're motivational books, you know, people who have had it, like myself, I'm in my nonfiction line, who have overcome adversity. And we have some amazing, we have an amazing lineup of books coming out, including Dawn Schiller, if you know the movie Wonderland, starring Val Kilmer and Kate Bosworth,
mm-hmm.
who played Dawn Schiller. She was John Holmes, the Porn King's girlfriend, and she wrote her book, Journey Through Wonderland, which is coming out. soon, fairly soon, and it is one of the most haunting books I have ever read.
Well, I, you know, personally, I thought, gee, I've got to see a movie about your life. I think, you know, I know that you have some wonderful authors, and you will be getting many more, but I also think that your life alone is a novel within itself, and I hope that, you know, actually, isn't your life being put by other people into a screenplay or a novel, Helen? Am I wrong? Was I given the wrong information on that?
My life as a screenplay?
Or a novel?
No.
Or your?
No, the only thing about me is my autobiography.
Oh, okay, well, you're right. Well, you know, because I think that without people that the youth can look up to and say, oh, okay, she did that in spite of, and I have to really say that, again, I felt that when I was reading about the adversity that you'd overcome, it was more than your double whammy of adversity. And I thought, my gosh, what is it that lit her fire, that keeps that fire going and, you know, inspires you every day in spite of, do you just forget about the parts that are bad? I mean, what could you tell people out there that are maybe facing a few things that you faced with cancer or whatever? What do you tell them, Helen?
Well, for myself personally, I'm a person of extremely deep faith, and that's my foundation. And I live by some cliches, like every cloud has a silver lining.
Mm-hmm.
When something bad happens, I say, all right, let's look for the good in this. What is the message? What is my lesson?
Your lesson. That's a beautiful way. That's a very humble way to look at it. That's gorgeous. You know, when you say lesson, I can't imagine. I mean, you've lived 20,000 lives to some people's one life. You know, I just can't imagine the universe saying, we got to teach her another lesson. I thought that would be Helen.
But something good does come out of every single one.
Well, yeah, yeah. And I know that, I believe that you had just given some money to a fire department that was about to go out of pocket, and you came forth, and I said, oh, okay, well, my assistant showed me that, and I thought, well, that was a very noble thing to do. Are things like that just kind of brought before you, and you go, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do, or how does that happen?
Well, things come to me in strange ways. Of course, I'm importuned for many things, but I just can't. There aren't, you know, I'm not.
Absolutely.
I am not the Wrigley heiress. I am a Wrigley heiress. I have lots of cousins, okay? And I do not, contrary to popular belief, have a money orchard in the backyard. And I have limits. I live on a budget like everybody. And so I simply cannot even process every request. But occasionally things come to me that, it's just a feeling. It's the right, to do this is the right thing. And it's just the right thing to do. So I do it.
Well, you know, the intuition that you have has gotten you to where you are today, which is incredibly well-known as a gifted woman and also a woman of deep faith, as you said, that can do what you've done. And I thought to myself that if Helen can just give us a little bit of insight into what it is that allows her the energy level to not only run a company, but also be an author. I mean, you're constantly writing new novels. So
yes.
Where do you get the time? And then you go to horse shows. Helen, I saw your horses. They're gorgeous. Oh, my gosh.
I love them so much. And, you know, you mentioned that I rescue animals. We live on a 100-plus acre rescue farm, so I can have my cows and my pigs and my chickens and my goats and even my turkey that I rescued, and who loves me. His name is Fred. And he loves me, and he talks to me, and he's huge. He's about a 40-pounder, and he lets me pick him up and hold him, and he lays his head on my shoulder.
Oh my God.
And it's stuff like that. You know, what what gives me the energy? That. Those things. What I get back from what I put out, you know, like my love for animals. And I have a passion for life, and I love doing every single thing that I do. I think anybody, you talk to anybody on Chesley Sullenberger's flight, and they'll tell you that they have a new zest for life. Well, look how many things have happened to me. I have been refueled over and over and over and over again until my tank expanded.
That's absolutely right. And your love for animal, you know, the thing I thought, whenever I saw that you rescued all these animals and all these horses, we had a guest last year or year before that. She rescues horses, and Ricky Lee Jones, I don't know if you've heard of her, but she's a Grammy-winning songwriter, Ricky Lee Jones.
Yes.
And, oh, my God, does she love horses? she's always, and she was just, you know, dying to find someone that would take a couple of her horses before she went on world tour. And I was trying to help her find, and I thought, oh, my God, if I had known Helen at that time, because.
I can never say no. I am such a pushover when it comes to animals. You won't believe how many animals I have on this farm.
How many you have?
I don't know.
You don't even know?
I cannot even stop to count them. I have so many rabbits and chickens and cats, and the chickens have a strange way of multiplying. Do not ask me to try and count my chickens.
We won't. I'm sure they have their own secret of how they keep going.
Yeah, I've got to get rid of some of those roosters, I think.
I think so. You're an animal charmer. That's what I think, you know, that somewhere along the line, you probably can take anybody and just charm them. Helen, you've got that gift.
Well, I don't know, but I certainly enjoy life. And anybody who would like to go to my site on my Facebook page.
Okay, give that.
Today, I put up
three
pictures on my page.
Okay.
It's for my album, Mobile Uploads, the real Helen Rosberg.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. So the real, what is that? So tell everyone how to find that really quickly, Helen.
I don't know. You go to Facebook.com, search Helen Rosberg.
Okay, and that's it, and you can find it. And we're going to find out the secret. Are you a tweeter?
I am not, although everybody in my company is. I have, you know, Facebook. I can hardly handle Facebook with everything else I do.
Oh, yeah, the Facebook alone. But you do have www.HelenRosberg.com. And
yes.
If you go to that, you can find out many. It has like a world map and where you live, and it tells. It's very, very, very informative. So, again.
Well, a new site is coming up in at the end of the month, and it's going to be really different and really spectacular, and lots of new pictures and lots of new stories.
Oh, great. Do you have a website for that or an address, Helen? Or
It's the same, www.HelenRosberg.com. It's just going to be a new site and new videos on it. And if you watch the video, one of the horse, you know, the horse videos,
right?
Fetch a tissue box.
Oh, wow, your heart. Oh, they're gorgeous. We were not able to backspace and get the pictures of them, or they would be right now on the show page where everyone could go and look at them. Absolutely. I wasn't quite sure when they sent me the links and I looked. I thought, was that you? That is you. In the shows, right, with your horses?
Yes.
I
show my own horses. My husband and daughter and I show horses together as a family team.
Amazing. And this takes a lot of your time. I mean, obviously, you don't just do that like on a drop of the hat. You've got to constantly be going and having everything planned. But the thing that struck me, the beauty of those horses, they were gorgeous. So please, everyone, go to www.HelenRosberg.com and just, is it horses, or I can't remember exactly what's on your site, but I think that you will be able to see everything about health. Also, medallionpress.com, M-E-D-A-L-L-I-O-N, press.com, and you can see more about what Helen does in her spare time. Just kidding. I mean, this is a whole publishing company with many authors, and I encourage everyone to go there and look at that. I wanted to ask you, Helen, for those out there that have faced cancer, and also especially women out there that are listening, and even men that are having breast cancer, what is the what would you say if people, like, they go to their doctor, they say, okay, you've got it, you've got breast cancer, what would you suggest for the average person out there to do, Helen, as far as the very first thing to deal with this, to cope with it and go on?
Well, it takes some adjustment just to, you know, allow yourself time to adjust to the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And don't do anything in haste. Give yourself a few days just and talk to your family. Gather your support system around you, and then begin amassing information. Knowledge is power. That power is a powerful tool for fighting the disease.
That's wonderful, wonderful advice, and I encourage everyone out there that is listening to the show, that will be downloading this show, specifically to know how Helen dealt with her courageous bout with, and actually you overcame it. You are clear, free and clear, of having a double mastectomy, and I encourage everyone to listen to what Helen has to say, because she's been there, she knows it, she's done it, and can tell you what to do. Get that support system in line, right, Helen?
Oh, yes, that's the most important first step.
Well, I thought to myself, well, whenever we're going to have someone like this on the show, I would love to take questions, but I knew that we were going to have a very limited amount of time. So I had people write in beforehand with a few questions, and I'd like to offer those. But first, I would like to have a little break, just very short, and we're going to hear a cello performance by a past guest of ours who's involved with a couple of symphonies, and she is a celloist, and her name is Rebecca Rodman, and she is quite the celloist. So Helen will be back in just a minute. And that is Rebecca Rodman, and she was our guest last year. She's incredible. She's with two symphonies, and she's just one of those cellists that has a genius with that. And I'm going to talk to our guest again, Ms. Helen Rothberg, and she is the CEO founder of Medallion Press, and she is also an author of romance novels and much, much more. Helen?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine and having a ball talking with you.
Well, I want to give you a chance. I mean, I could ask you 1,000 questions, but are there things that you would like to share with the listening audience that perhaps before, you know, that I haven't brought up and so forth?
Well, I had someone in my company said, aside from writing, what are some other things I really enjoy doing?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be working all the time, quite simply. I was just thinking and having to chuckle to myself. People often ask me, well, how do you do it? And my
mm-hmm.
answer, because I do so many things, you know, that showing the horses and the dogs, I'm the CEO, president, and executive editor of Medallion, which means I edit other people's books as well. And as president, I'm involved with every department on every single thing, every day.
Mm.
And I'm the CEO of my new company, Medallion Media. And I love to work. And I was, while I was listening to the cello,
mm-hmm.
I was, you know, the moment when people ask me, how do you do it? I say, don't ask me how I do it, because if I sat down and thought about it, I'd realize I can't. And I'd stop myself in my tracks. And while I was listening to the cello, I was editing a paragraph in the latest book I'm editing.
There you go, folks. That's how creativity works. Well, when you say media, okay, could you tell us about Medallion Media? What is that?
Well, and you'll appreciate this with your show particularly. I understand, and my brilliant president of the media group, Adam Mock, understands that there is a synergy between all the arts, and the publishing can intertwine beautifully with music and movies, and they feed off of one another. And so I started the media group where we are, you know, we are co-producing our first indie film, screenplay by one of our authors, Greg Lamberson. See how that works?
Mm-hmm.
And we look for, you know, indie bands who we think are great and trying to get a start. And maybe the musical score to a movie becomes a hit CD. You know, it just all works together.
Mm-hmm. So that is the Medallion Press and the Medallion
Media.
Go ahead.
Well, go ahead and finish your thought, and then remind me to tell you something very special about our business cards.
Sure. Well, I was just going to say that actually Medallion Press is part of Blog Talk Radio. Doesn't someone have a show with Blog Talk?
Yes, Paul Olson, our director of sales and marketing.
Because your emblem or whatever is very prevalent at certain times, and I know that for those of you out there that are looking on the Judy Joy Jones homepage, that you will say, well, I don't know that one. But Paul, I think, sent the assistant a new, like you have a logo now that is not the one you started with, but it's very, very attention-getting. It's all yellow, and it used to be green. And so...
Well, it used to be kind of gold. Now we have different. Well, yellow. Wait a minute. I'm going to get this confused because it's new. But I think yellow
green.
Is Medallion Media and green is Medallion Press, or vice versa, something like that.
Okay. So we have a couple of going. And you know, besides what the logo is, although we do like all of us like to have those things that we can go, oh, okay, I know that. I know that. You know, I want to tell everyone again to go to the homepage of our show, and you're going to be able to see three of your books scrolling by. But actually, Helen, how many books have you written? You've written a lot.
Well, I think 8, maybe.
Wow.
It's kind of like the chickens, you know, it's getting up there.
they just keep producing.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't get them all up because actually, Helen, we're only allowed three, but I would have if I could have, because I know, you know, I didn't know which ones were your very favorites and all that. So for those of you that want to know everything that you have actually written, where's the best place they could find that out?
What I have written?
That's right.
Of course, on my website, and then there's a book or two that were published by New York House, and so on my medallion, you can go to medallionpress.com and see which books I've written for my company.
Okay, medallionpress.com. And I would encourage everyone to do that because when you go to her website, Medallion Press, not only her own personal website, but HelenRosberg.com, you're going to find many, many amazing things. And I would encourage everyone to go and look, especially those out there that are interested in writing, interested in how do you do this, how do you get published, and all those things. And, you know, it's very, very easy to look at, easy to read. And her personal website I found exceptional. I thought it was amazing that I could see this world map, and I go, oh, okay, there was this little thing dancing, and I thought, and so you click on that, that's where you are now, that's where you're residing in Florida, and so it's just a really great website, and as you said, you're redoing that, and there's going to be a new one coming out, but in the meantime, people can go there and see that, and everyone out there, you know, Helen, because the average person, you know, there's only maybe 1% that live the life that you live. I would like to know, when you were a little, you know, girl, like 5, 6, 7, 8, and you were going, did you travel around the world or did you, you know, were you able to go to places that most your friends just kind of went, oh, you went there? Or,
well, not around the world. We followed my grandparents. My grandparents spent the summers at their country estate in Wisconsin, the fall at their apartment in Chicago, the winter at their home in Arizona, and the spring at their home on Catalina Island. And my mom, we just followed wherever they were. Like I had a nanny, we called it, or my mother called it a governess back then, and I was homeschooled because we traveled like that all the time as a child. So I was in school very rarely and for short periods of time. Well, I did not have anything close to a normal childhood.
Nothing. Okay, that right there tells you the difference. So you didn't even attend like a private school on a daily basis. You had the private tutor. And you were very isolated in your childhood, except for...
I was, until my mother divorced.
Oh.
And then she moved to Arizona permanently. We quit, you know. I would visit my grandparents in the summers, but otherwise we stayed put. And I went to a public school, a public elementary school, and... loved it. I think 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And then I got sent away to high school, and that's when life went seriously downhill for me.
Oh. You were a public high school or a private?
A private girls' boarding school. Ugh.
No good.
Ugh.
Not excited about that particular part of your life.
No, it's like recalling it is like watching a bad horror movie.
You know, for those of us that didn't attend one of those, I can only imagine. The teachers, people in charge, or something went wrong as far as how you were taught. But you were already so creative that it would be hard for you to kind of go by guidelines. You know, let's fit in here. Right, Helen? I mean...
I did not. I was the round peg that nobody ever could fit into the square hole.
That's what I pick up, and that's what I really admire about you, because it's the round pegs that will not fit that actually change our world as far as what I've st- studied, and they are the pioneers. They lead us to the next stage because they really don't go along with the herd, and not because that's what they chose in a way, but because of who they are. And I introduced you as a great soul, and I will definitely stick with that because, you know, Helen, I feel like life is not everyone thinks it's like this rose-colored thing and that if you do this or that, it's going to be okay, but life has a way of being not okay and kind of throwing out what it will. And
yes, but it's how we learn and grow. You can't expand your inner universe by sitting in a room with padded walls where you're safe all the time.
Okay, that's worth repeating. You can't be safe all the time in a room with padded walls and expand your universe. You can't do it. It's not going to happen.
Correct.
So you got to reach out and go beyond being safe and reach out and go into the world because that's where it is. And, you know, a lot of people listening would probably say, yeah, that's right. But, you know, tomorrow they're not going to do it. But I believe that you are here to remind us that you did it. You know, Helen, a lot of the things you did, I don't think, well, maybe I'm wrong, but did you really have to start Medallion Press or was that more or less a choice?
Of course it was a choice.
There you go.
I chose to change publishing. Well, even if it was going to be one book at a time, okay? I didn't like it. I didn't like it. It's a silly business. I mean, it's a consignment business. Just think about it. You can have lots of orders for books, but until someone actually picks the book up out of a bookstore and takes it to the cash register and pays for it, you haven't sold that book.
Right.
And if the bookstores don't sell everything that they buy, hoping to sell, they tear the cover off and send it back to you. Oh, tell me the sense in that, please.
Absolutely. You know, that's it. And all you know, all the authors or wannabe authors that are listening out there, you know, Helen has a lot of wisdom through many years of experience that she can offer every one of you. And if you go to medallionpress.com, you're going to find a lot of these answers. And I hope that often after shows, we have authors write us and they say, well, we want to get our book out and how do we do it? And who do we, you know, do we contact Helen or do we contact Helen? Do you use only authors that have agents?
No. We pride ourselves in looking for and finding those bright new voices that are, and they are all the beautiful new voices are not agented. I would not narrow my world down that much. So we take, fiction, unagented fiction. It's only the nonfiction which we require be agented.
So everyone out there that's got a fiction novel, you know, they've kind of got it hidden under the desk, bring it out and try it. Helen is saying that you do not have to have an agent, and so go ahead and give it a go and try it. I mean, after all that you're going to get is a no, and you might get a yes. And I want to tell everyone out there that is, Helen, I had a friend write me and ask me to ask you, when you are not doing your, when you're not showing your horses and you're not working with your publishing company, what do you do to relax? What do you do? You wake up in the morning and you have, you know, you decided this weekend is for me or whatever. What do you do?
Well, you know, showing horses at the high level that we do, I train. We have to all train. It's a sport. We are athletes and the horses are athletes, and mm-hmm. that to me is the most divine leisure, is to be with the animals.
Okay.
And I just go around the farm, and I hug my pigs,
mm-hmm.
and I bring everybody treats, and I hang out with my animals. And then my guilty little pleasure, you really want to know?
Yeah.
Reality television. I am such an addict. And I like to, in the evenings, curl up with a glass of wine and watch some good, oh, especially the Food Network. Oh, I am,
You're
I love the Food Network. And my friend Billy Baldwin of the Baldwin Brothers told me that it's people like him who are killing, people like me who are killing his career. He had a drama canceled, you know, because everybody's watching reality TV.
Right. Well, you know, we do what we do, and if you enjoy it, what the heck. But you're really into the food shows.
Oh, yeah, my hobby is cooking. Oh, no, why? How do I do it? I don't know.
Well, you know, we had Susan Powder on our show, and she's really into nutrition and all, and she's crazy about cooking. So you have time to actually make – it's hard to believe. You go into the kitchen, you make things from scratch. Wow.
I do, and I like to develop my own recipes. However, I have to admit that I finally broke down last year and got a personal chef because I just don't have time to do it, you know, and my – you know, all the time. On the weekends, my husband and I cook for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And but other than that, I have to admit I spoiled myself because it just got – time just got too critical.
Too critical. You know, I have to tell you, next week we're going to have Diana Nyad, who is – she wrote Other Shores. She's a long-distance ocean swimmer. Yeah, I believe she did the Catalina Ocean Swim, which was started, am I correct, by your grandfather?
Oh, well, probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
So, you know, that's kind of amazing that, you know, we're all so interconnected, but,
6 degrees.
Yeah, but you actually spent your younger years on Catalina Island.
I spent a lot of time there, and we have a home there to this day and that my mother built, and we try to visit as often as possible. I find that the most peaceful place on earth.
Really? Why
yes.
is that, Helen? You've been everywhere.
I'm not sure. There's something very, very magical about it. For instance, scientifically, it is the only place on this planet where plants indigenous to the southern hemisphere and those indigenous to the north, and you know, who that won't grow in the opposite one, will grow together on Catalina Island.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I never read that. That is amazing. And we don't know why, but they just go together.
It's absolutely magical, and until it's just it's like stepping into another world.
Well, I know the ocean swim is pretty tough as far as they won't allow you to wear a wetsuit, and so the water
down there.
Yeah, it's cold, and it used to be they offered a great amount of money, or at that time, it was quite a bit of money. I don't know what they offer now, but Catalina Island, that's right off. Where is that? Los Angeles. It's right off the coast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So do you get there very often?
Well, we try to go. We try to go twice a year, at least. Oh. And because I also have a home in Brisbane, Australia. My eldest son, married an Australian girl who would not leave Australia. So. He settled down there and became a physician and has two daughters, our grandbabies. And so we got a small apartment there so we can visit. And so it's kind of convenient to swing by Catalina and then you know, and then keep on going to Brisbane. And
that's a long way. He's a physician. Oh, wow.
He is.
Must be happy with that. That's
amazing. I am.
Yeah, because I haven't heard you mention having a lot of doctors. So you have a healer. You know, I think myself personally that people that get along with animals really well, like you, Helen, I call, you know, like I said, they're animal charmers. They just know people. And it's a great gift, actually. You probably can get along with anyone.
The animals are the gift to me.
Huh.
They're healing. Their animals are so spiritual and so healing.
Just being near, you know, we had a psychic on our show a couple of years ago, and she sang her predictions. But one of the things she loved were horses, and she wrote a couple of songs about horses. And I thought about you. She is no longer with us, but I will remember the singing psychic. And when I saw about your love for horses, I thought about her because, you know, it's funny, the people that love horses, they're like, you can't get them away. That's it. They are with their So as a young child, you must have had that draw, that connection.
Well, I come from a long line of women who are addicted to horses.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother, Helen Wrigley, was a horsewoman. My mother was a horsewoman and raised horses. And my sister and one of my cousins, well, all of my cousins enjoy horses, but I have a cousin who's seriously, you know, who also raises horses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Wrigley woman thing, I believe, apparently. And my daughter now, of course, has, you know, it's genetic. There was no escaping.
No escaping. And I want to tell everyone again, if you want to see some of Helen's horses, please go to www.helenrosberg.com and click on horses, and you're going to see some of the most magnificent horses that personally I have ever seen. And I am not I haven't gone to horse shows, but I would just to see these horses, and I tried to get them on the show page, but I couldn't do that. So go ahead and go see that. And we just got a couple of more minutes, Helen, and I want you to share with our listeners who will be downloading this show, what is it that, besides all of the adversity, that would you kind of surmise, if you could, if you can't, no problem, but what is it that has kind of lit your fire, your passion, and I do feel that about you, your passion for life?
Well, heroes, like the everyday heroes,
mm-hmm.
Police, the military, firefighters,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The everyday heroes.
The everyday heroes.
That and stand between us and chaos.
Absolutely. Like right now, the Red Cross and Haiti and all... You know, that's a beautiful, thank you, Helen. I want to tell you that we so appreciate you being on our show. I just really, you know, can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
And so I'm going to go ahead and end this show. I'm sad to end it, but we will. And I'm going to go ahead and give out Helen's website, www.helenrosberg.com, rosberg.com, www.medallionpress.com, and you can find these on the homepage of judyjoyjonesshow.com, and you're going to see some of Helen's books, three of her romance novels, scrolling by. And all I can say is that we just were able to speak with what I consider and will go down in history as a great, great soul. Thank you, Helen Rosberg. And we are going to end this show with a bit more of cello playing by Rebecca Rodman.